You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we're talking about how joyous it is in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
They're having a good time again. They got new ownership. Everything's new. It's very nice to see. Also, the rumors out of Miami is, are we going to get some little Messies out there?
Is it going to be messy?
It's going to
be
messy.
Very much. In the second segment, we talk to Felipe Cardenas. That's right, Cardenasty. You'll see why we're calling him that. Also, we talk a little bit about fans walking out and what our opinion on that, you know, and pizza comes up and we tell you what pizza should be illegal. That and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hi, I'm John Strong. I'm the large bald man who stands next to Stu Holden when you watch soccer on Fox Sports. You are listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Yes! Second week in a row on television.
We have not been canceled yet.
Okay, all right.
How does that feel, baby?
Hey, Fubo, put a countdown clock right there.
Let's get a ticker, huh? Let's just put a dash every time. We don't get fired. But put that dash in before we walk in so we know, you know?
Thank you for joining us again today. Hello, my name is Christian Polanco.
Yes, it is, and I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show on television that ever. You have ever seen.
It's the funniest soccer television show. It's the funniest soccer podcast with the two funniest soccer people.
Okay.
Hey, what more do you need?
All right. Thank you for reading our resume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Under special skills, it says, ha ha. You know?
Not bad. We're not just the funniest soccer show that you've ever
We've
listened
to. We've done this 200 times. Come on. You know we're the gulliest soccer show the world.
Says it right there, right on his shirt. That official Cooligans merch, making it on camera.
Okay.
Well, you got to fix the sleeve, Alexis.
Well, I do that on purpose. Hold on a second.
Okay. Hey, did you shower this morning?
It's a Cooligans logo. Did I shower this morning? Of course I did not. You know, ew. Showering? Then my must goes away.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Everyone appreciates it here.
Yeah, people like, yo, Alexis, why are those cats following you? Now you know, okay?
And cats are not just dudes, you know? These are actual felines.
Yeah. So, yo, what are those dudes? No, those are cats. No,
cats, dogs.
I'm allergic too, so like, yo, get away from me, you know what I mean?
So, yes, we're happy to be
Once again, people are watching going, are you sure this is a soccer show?
We'll get there.
It will be, eventually.
So thank you for watching. Our first week on Fubo, Fubo Sports Network has been great. We've had a great time.
Yeah.
We were
The fans had a great time.
We were on Drinks with Binks.
Yes, we
were. Julie Stewart Binks' show.
Got a little tipsy.
Okay, well, if it's the first episode, you bring the Cooligans on and you bring alcohol.
Right?
You bring brown liquor especially.
Right, you got that dark liquor. You know what's going to happen.
You're asking for trouble.
I become mean on that dark liquor. You know what I mean? I become my grandma. You know, I got a problem, you know.
That's right. That's where he gets it from.
Okay. You thought this was from somebody else in the family? No, it's from abuela. She ain't that sweet. She's been through a lot.
Okay, you know, some people have different types of abuelas.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Some of them get hugs. Not mine. Not at all.
Okay.
She's like, drink your 151 and go to bed. I'm 7.
Hey, you're going to have to learn someday.
Well, you lost at the dice game, so now you go to bed.
But we did have a good time. This has been an incredible experience
it's
so far.
It's absolutely amazing.
At FUBA, and it's only going to grow. The show is going to just like, what, you know, evolve and just be more and more fun week after week. So we can only say thank you so much for tuning into our first week. And we had, I don't think we don't know how to do TV yet, right?
No, because we have no idea.
In the first episode of the show, we didn't even mention that we're on twice a week.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention that we're it's on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 p.m.
So you can watch us both days.
Exactly.
And it's pretty great. Also, we're replayed a lot.
Yeah.
So you put on Fubo Sports Network, you either see our ugly faces or Julie Stewart Bates. Okay. And every once in a while, you see like a documentary about a guy who lost a foot playing golf or something weird. Right, but for the most part,
look, the programming on the show on the channel is like that's not up to us.
No,
all right, but
the lead in our first ever episode was a guy with a robotic hand and a dude whose foot leg was almost snapped in half. What are we doing? You want to help us out a little bit? It was Fubo Sports Network.
I mean, look, it can only get better from there, right? A little cheer you up a little bit.
Like, let's just show them real tragedy so we don't get any complaints about the Cooligans. Yeah, one guy's like, I'll never play football again. The other guy's like, it's got a mind of its own. And then us.
Yes. Is that a sports show or like a short circuit?
Yeah. Those locals kick your ass in outer Cooligans, everybody.
Whoa, I swear we get to the soccer. No, this is it, right? This is the purpose of this show. This is why the show exists, so we can have fun and enjoy soccer at the same time.
That's right.
Again, shout out to everybody. People, they saw our new set.
And so we were repping with the scarves. Yeah, and they were like, we're going to send you all the scarves we have.
We would get two reactions. We would get like, oh, cool. You know, my supporters club is there. My supporters group is represented. Some were like, yo, why ain't my supporters group represented? Right. I gave you a scarf in 2016.
Remember that 7 years ago? We gave you a scarf.
We got that.
And then we got the third one, which was like, yo, why is that trash team up there? It's like, so, Jesus.
Like this, the whole set is here to upset people. Yeah. Right.
It's the upset. Can we zoom in on the disappointment on Christian?
I would say it'll happen once per show, but it's once. It'll happen again.
No, I'm also feeling myself, so it might just keep happening.
But we have. But thank you to one of the other reactions where people being like, "Yo, I'm gonna send you some stuff," and it's got not only in our last studio. I would complain that it was getting a little out of hand.
Right.
The amount of things that people were sending.
And I would tell you there's no such thing.
And now it is at an astronomical level.
Now there's a pile. There's a pile. We feel bad.
The studio, everybody at the studio is like, all right, we're going to have to, like, I guess, build an addition to the studio.
Yeah, who went to IKEA? Oh, no? Oh, these are for unboxing?
So, but no, we appreciate it. Thank you so
much. Let's go a third episode a week, unboxing episode. We'll throw that up on Wednesdays, maybe.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Yeah, maybe.
I'm sure you can find a snuff film to play before it.
A little bit more chipper.
You know, we really build them back up, you know?
But again, thank you so much for all the support. And we have, I feel like this should have a name. I was thinking of like a supporter tree or scarf tree or something like that. You know,
supporter tree sounds weird. I'm not going to lie to you.
All right.
Well, the tree of jerseys.
I don't know what to call it.
Well, thank you. Shouts to Edgewater Castle.
Yeah, shout out to Edgewater Castle getting represented on whatever this is called.
Also, shouts to the fans who show us love. We want to show you love back. We got Rathbone Montalban.
Ooh.
Don't know if that's a real name, but it should be. Okay.
Sounds like an uncle of yours.
I want the whole government on the back of a jersey. He put brilliant 5 stars. I laughed. I cried. I laughed, cried. I ate a whole pizza to restore some emotional balance to my life. And that was just the first podcast I listened to.
Look at that.
Also, we're a show now. So watch it and order yourself another pizza, baby. Football Sports Network. What's up?
And that's another reminder for people that are watching on Football Sports Network. Thank you for that. Yeah. The show is still in podcast form, so you could always listen to that. So
leave a review on the iTunes and we'll just read it on the television show. We're merging both worlds. Exactly. You know what I mean? Synergy, my guy.
That is right. Synergy, my guy. Hey, just breaking in real quick. We got an ad from our sponsor.
Yeah, SeatGeek, baby.
SeatGeek.
They can't stay away from us.
That's right. It is. They leave us weird voicemails.
They're like, yo, we need more of you.
No, but SeatGeek, if you guys ever need to get tickets, a couple of these remaining MLS playoff matches. Also, maybe you want to go to the NWSL game between Sky Blue and the Orlando Pride.
Having at Rebel Arena.
Which is happening at Rebel Arena again.
Yeah.
The second time. So that's super cool for Sky Blue. I believe that's September 29th that game is happening. So use the SeatGeek app to get tickets to that game.
Did you say Orlando Rain? You meant Orlando Pride.
I said Orlando Pride.
Did you? I heard rain. All right. Well, nonetheless, you could go get a ticket to either one.
Bring an umbrella.
You never know what's going to happen. But SeatGeek has it all. All you have to do is download their app. They actually give it to you in like these color-coded things so you know if what you're getting is a good deal or not. They've got comedy. They've got tickets tickets to theater, concerts, all this stuff.
Yeah, concerts. I was actually just using it because I was trying to get tickets to go see Tool.
Okay.
I was going to buy them just like on Ticketmaster and stuff like that, but they sold out in seconds.
A lot of red.
I was very furious.
Yeah.
But I went on SeatGeek and there were already a couple there for sale. So I'm like, now I know I won't have to miss the concert.
Well, that's what SeatGeek does. They aggregate all the other ticket sellers, so you don't have to do all that research on your own. So just get the SeatGeek app and guess what? They're going to give you $10 off your first order if you say Cooligans brought you there.
Exactly.
So you got to whisper in the app.
Well, or type it, use the promo code. If you whisper, I don't know what the results will be.
It might not happen. You know those people who talk into the screen and not the mic? You know how annoying that is? That's how you'll look if you say Cooligans.
You're
going
to look like you're chirping to your Nextel. You look dumb.
That's a wrong arrow, my guy. So go ahead, put in Cooligans, get $10 off your first order. You could thank us later.
One thing I want to make sure that we talk about is that it's the beginning of Hispanic Heritage Month.
That's right. Of course.
All right. It's
I know what you're thinking. Wait, it's the beginning of Hispanic Heritage Month in the middle of a month?
What is up with that?
Yeah. All right. Look, I've got complaints. Okay.
That's what we're here for.
Okay. We'll do it from 1:15 to the other 15. We'll call it. I mean, technically, it's a month.
We have 30 days.
Right.
But it's not at the beginning of. It's just a little strange.
It's ridiculous.
Why is it positioned in this particular
National
way?
National Hot Dog Day is a thing. There's National Double Cheeseburger Day. They get an actual day. It doesn't start at 6 p.m. It's a minute to midnight. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We can't get a month.
Well, I mean, I'm sure there was one available, right?
Yeah. I feel like there's 12 to choose from.
Is there another, a holiday that it goes only 15 days that we couldn't, like, you know, overlap?
No. I hate it. It's like when the sports seasons, when you have to be like, remember what happened in 03, 04? You have to put two of them together to have it. Just give me one. Guys. Give me one. Make it easy.
So this is always exciting because I think, for the next 30 days in between these 2 months, we will do our best to try to include some more Latinofy it up. You know what
I'm sure they're wondering, like, where else could you fit it in? You know,
you know, some people may be asking, isn't it always Hispanic Heritage Month with you guys?
It is on this show, baby. Okay.
So get used to it, guys. All right. So let's start talking some American soccer because a lot of things happened in just the last few days, but the Chicago Fire, right? The Chicago Fuegos now. Yeah, it's Hispanic Heritage Month. I don't make the rules.
Chicago Fuego. Okay, that's who you are now.
Pa que entiende. Yeah,
okay.
Right. So.
Chicago encendido.
En la calle of Fuego. Right, let's go.
Fuego.
So, the Chicago Fire officially have new ownership. And this we already knew, but they will be moving to Soldier Field, that which was already reported. But this was the
they announced it all.
Yes, but the ownership change was the thing that was unexpected.
They also didn't mention anything about the name change. I know the fans were upset that it might go to Chicago City SC or FC.
Yes. I had heard the new owner, Joe Mansueto, on Extra Time. He was actually saying that he's a huge fan of the name, and he didn't say definitively that they weren't going to change it, but right. He would like to keep it. So that's a pretty good sign that if the owner wants to keep the name.
Yeah, but that's like a political answer. I'm a big fan. You know, and I'm going to hate putting a bullet in its head.
He also,
you
know? It's a political guy, but he also spent $400 million to, you know, buy the team,
right.
To keep take full ownership of the
team. I'm not saying he can do it.
No, I'm not sure. Yeah.
$400 million. All right.
Yeah.
Name it whatever you want.
Yeah. I don't believe.
I feel like the fans won't be upset if they go with the Chicago Cooligans.
I feel like so many fans would be upset.
I don't think so. I feel like everyone would be behind it.
I feel like maybe the 8 people we know in Chicago will be totally cool with it.
I mean, just think about it. Just let it. Just put it out there. Plant the seed. You never know what's going to happen.
I mean, it's not a crazy name for a team, right?
Cooligans FC.
I had just seen a profile of Flat Earth FC. Did you see? Remember?
Yes.
Flat Earth FC, which is the team in. In Spain, I don't know what city in Spain. I think it's in Barcelona or
something. It's a third division team.
Yeah.
They went with Flat Earth.
Flat Earth. And
FC.
If you haven't seen this team, I mean, they're a real team, right?
They're actually real.
And they're all their supporters. You know, the narrative is about how the earth is flat, and they really talk about it. Like,
so clearly the team doesn't fly anywhere and look out the window. It's a cool thing about them.
Okay.
They refuse to do it.
There are crazier names than the Chicago.
But are there crazier fans? The answer is no.
But this is exciting news because, you know, we have, you know, we did the World Cup Comedy Tour show in Chicago. We've always had a great time there.
Yeah, Chicago's a great city.
Chicago Fire fans, been around.
We also went to the MLS All-Star Game in Soldier Field, and it was wonderful. It's a wonderful venue. Here's the problem. Huge.
Tremendous.
Yeah. Real Madrid sold it out. No offense, Chicago Fire, right? Different team. How do you think?
Yes.
Yeah. Good, you know what? I want to go on record.
Glad you pointed that out because
it is a different club.
Slightly different. I think it's really the only difference is that the jerseys are a different color.
Yeah, that's it.
Outside of that, pretty much top to bottom.
Negligible, really. But are you not? I mean, they even mentioned it in the thing that they're sort of looking forward to see how much the fan base can grow when they get there, which is another sign for, yo, this place is going to look wild empty if y'all don't show up. Please show up to this game.
Yeah, you need to create them Facebook event invites.
Maybe Eventbrite.
ASAP.
You know? ASAP.
ASAP, but you know. You
as soon as possible.
But I'm happy for the Fire. I think, yes, is it going to be challenging? Yes, but would staying in Bridgeview would have caused a lot of other issues.
They paid $65 million to get out.
Sure.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah.
That's like the Bezos divorce.
Okay. I mean, he's much more wealthy than that.
If you said $65 million, you'd be like, oh, that's it. Hold on. I lived in a glove compartment.
You got out easy, dog. Yeah,
damn, son. I could get that to you like prime 2 days if you want.
I guess it's not even worth it. Love is not even worth it. Yeah. You know,
she's like, I want $65 million. Did you not even love me? That's it.
That's a pretty good deal. So, but I'm happy for them. I think I like seeing the Chicago Fire fan base just excited about something. And we saw and they had I believe a 4-0 win against FC Dallas. Like the energy.
Yeah. And look, hey, half the fans aren't banned from Soldier Field, which is great, right? Right, the band doesn't hold. Shouts to
you
guys.
That's old stuff, Alexis. They'll bring up the old stuff that they figured all of that stuff out.
They strained it out.
The other thing I wanted to talk about real quick was the rumors out of Miami.
Miami.
Okay. You know,
they keep it 100 for Hispanic Heritage Month. Club Internacional de Fútbol, Miami, coño. It says it on the crest. Yeah, says, coño.
I protested against that. I'm like, you don't even need this part, but like, cool.
They're like, why don't we just put ño? Keep it 100 Miami.
But no, the fact that David Beckham has been traveling over Europe, looking up,
right?
You know, watching players. He's
just
like
propositioning players. Probably not the way I should have said it. Now that I said
I'm
it
sure
out
this
loud.
Is probably a classier way to do it. But no, he's just looking at the talent out there, right? Because and one of the names that popped up is Lionel Messi.
That's the name.
I mean, there's no bigger name. The interesting thing about this is that he was
contract.
Yeah, the questions about Messi in Barcelona are now coming up, and then the fact that the rumors about Miami, I'm like, all right.
But he also said he could leave on a free whenever he wants, as long as he does it before June or something like that. Every year he could leave for free.
Oh well, good deal.
Wherever he goes, wherever he wants. Which Beckham is like, that happens to fit the MLS budget. You know what I mean? If I look at the math.
The schedule also, I think we can make something work.
Yeah, I feel like the math alone fits exactly what we're looking for.
So it would be unbelievable.
And they clearly know each other. You know what I mean? They're two big names, right? Messi would probably love to play for him. You know?
Sure. I don't know. I'm here to speculate, dog. I don't know.
Yeah, dude, let's make it messy. Lionel Messi. Right?
Okay. I think I see what you did there.
I you know, that one was also for free. I mean, I'm excited about it. I'm excited for the opportunity to watch him play in MLS.
I am.
I don't care how old he is. Put him out there in a walker.
Wow, this is a different league. I think you want to watch. I don't know why.
The senior, like the PGA, the SPGA tour. We got the SMLS. Let's go. Broken hips left and right.
They do have those like legend games, right? And those some of the players can get pretty old, right? When you watch like the Manchester United legends go up against whoever.
Paul Scholes out there limping, you know.
A couple weeks ago, didn't Paul Scholes just have like an incredible pass?
Yeah.
That in some legends game, whatever. But I love it when these guys do that. They do something incredible and, you know, and they're like in their 50s. And then, but it's the 19-year-old fans that are still criticizing them. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they still, they give them that 2019 energy, and it's, you're just being mean to an old person.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I think, what is it? Vincent Kompany just had his testimonial game.
Okay.
And he was injured. He couldn't even play in his own testimonial game.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, okay. Well, hey, it happens.
Yeah.
And he's not even that old.
No, but he injured himself preparing for the game, which is like, bruh, magic spray, injection, get out there. What are you worried about the next game? It's not happening. You know what I mean?
That is, yeah. Well,
they should do that thing they do for dogs where it's like that little thing with the wheels. You know what I mean? He's just got his leg in a cast, put wheels around it, like sure, just a rollerblade.
Hey, Vinti, go and mark Eric Cantona in your little, yeah, in your little.
Cantona's in the corner writing poems.
Just your little wheelchair for your ankle.
He's got the cone. I didn't need this. I'm not gonna lick the injury.
I'm not Luis Suarez. Yeah. I'm not gonna bite anybody. You're going too far.
So, lots of stuff happening in American soccer. It's not just us getting gifts and stuff and all this other great stuff. Although, thank you for everything you guys
said. Even though that is the most important.
Yeah, no, I mean, priorities, right? That's what we do in the first block. But no, you know, there was a slew of wonderful games.
Yes.
And things are starting to get hot. Playoffs are starting soon.
Yes, but we have to acknowledge somebody's birthday.
Oh.
We got
it's
a birthday.
It's not my birthday.
It is not your birthday.
And it's not your birthday.
No, and our birthdays are a day apart. So yeah. So then
why are we acknowledging anybody else's? They're not important.
Fang!
Yeah!
We got to give a shout out to Fang, the Philadelphia Union Fang.
Snake with arms.
Snake with arms and legs.
Non-binary. Shouts to Fang. Okay.
Okay, just a snake?
Just saying.
All right, no more questions. All right.
Everybody stop right there. All right. This ain't a dating app.
All right, you swipe wherever you want to swipe. Yeah.
Okay. Swipe up, swipe down. Guess what? You get a mascot.
Yeah. But no, it's been a year since Fang hatched. And
came ripping out of an egg, scaring children.
Yeah, that's right. But now everyone has grown to love
now
Fang.
We love him. Okay. At first, a little scary. Remember the Pelicans mascot that was like Pierre? It was like all freaking all the kids out, so they changed the face.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
But they didn't have to do that with Fang.
No, everybody loves him.
Fang doesn't need a rebrand just yet.
No, not yet. He doesn't need mascot surgery instead of plastic surgery. I don't know.
Mascot surgery? Mascot reassignment surgery.
Yeah. He's good. I wonder if Gritty showed up for his birthday. You saw that?
That's right.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
That's pretty dope. Couple mascots.
I mean, Philadelphia is known for that. So that's cool. They get a lot of, so shout out to Fang. All right. So, well, we have to talk about a game that happened last week. This was LA Galaxy against Colorado. Everybody's been pretty concerned for LA Galaxy because
they might miss the playoffs.
Because they have what, 18 DPs and they still can't seem to get above the playoff line, right?
Yeah. Pavone, one of the greatest players in South America, just shows up for $7.55. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'll get me a Metro card.
And, you know, could I just get like, I don't know, put $25 in my Uber account?
And we good. We'll all be right? Good.
I'll play for your team.
I'll take my talents out there. Yeah. But no, LA Galaxy lost 2-1 to Colorado, which is, I mean, again, Robin Fraser's been just kind of brought some energy
completely
to that.
Completely changed the club.
Really cool. But this is, nobody necessarily expects the Colorado Rapids, even though they've been on a pretty good run, to make it to the playoffs. But LA Galaxy, the standard should be higher, especially with the level of the caliber players that they have. But we have to talk about.
But there are 45 points, seventh place, which is the last playoff place, is 43.
Yeah.
So none of this is set in stone.
Yeah, here. It is crazy tight in the Western Conference, right?
Sporting Kansas City still has a shot. Colorado Rapids at 36 points still has a shot.
Anything is possible. But there was a great moment at the end of the game between Colorado and LA where
Zlatan was just like stoically walking out off the field.
Yeah.
And apparently two fans got on the field.
Yes.
One of them goes to talk to Zlatan. Completely busts his ass, slides past him.
Yeah,
he literally falls and then just slides past him. Right,
we're looking at it now, and it's
look at him. Right, he makes a turn and then whoop falls.
It's a great. We're used to sort of seeing this in Europe. This happens all the time. You have
remember the one guy who punched the player in the face, and then was it Grealish? And then he went and scored the game winner.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, yeah. That was in the championship.
Yeah,
when Villa the Millwall.
I don't know. Some dude who looks like, you know, he's AC/DC, like one of those guys. just like wearing the paperboy hat.
Yeah, I mean, look, realistically, you don't want to see it, right? You don't want fans.
Anyone who looks like AC/DC, we don't want to see it.
Well, you don't want fans to be running out on the pitch, putting themselves in.
Where's security at?
I mean,
look, although one dude got a nice tackle, he fake left. Took the dude right out, right as he was getting a slot on. Bah,
but there was the footage that we're showing you now is not the exact one, but the LA Galaxy on Twitter, they had shown
one in slow motion.
In slow motion. And this is when it's like, it is absolutely beautiful because it does look like Zlatan.
He puts his hands up and the guy falls. So it looks like he uses the force. He's just like, do not touch me. And the guy's like, whoa!
Just collapses. Yeah. Zlatan's energy was just, mm-hmm. you know, was.
It's his ego.
His confidence is like, you can't break through the aura.
Hey, he's a black belt. You know, maybe they know some stuff we don't know. You know what I mean?
But just a cool, it's just another viral video or whatever. But this action, just like fans kind of jumping on the field because it wasn't just the fans themselves.
Although in Europe, Messi would have hugged them. Neymar would have hugged them.
Andre Shinyashiki, who plays for the Colorado Rapids, he's the one I think he scored the two goals.
He's the one who came up to try to give him the thing. And Zlatan won't even look at
him. There was just so many things happening. Yeah. The fans running up to him. In slow motion, it looks even better. And then Shinyashiki is like trying to get a swap jersey.
Zlatan's like, get this child away from me.
Get this blonde-haired boy away.
He did. He dyed his entire face blonde. It's a little scary.
We need to, let's do a quick little recap on what happened in England, right? We have European teams in England that we like to watch from time to time.
That make us sad on the weekends.
Definitively, without a doubt. I turn on, I'm like, let me watch this Everton game. They play against Bournemouth. I'm like, this. I have zero expectations.
I can picture you, right? You're all childlike, getting geared up. You've got your you got your Everton shirt. You got your Everton mug. Yeah. Holding your Everton stuffed teddy bear.
You know, sometimes
I stuffed toffee. I don't know what it is.
Sometimes I'm like, how much emotional investment should I really have? I'm not from there, you know, but I've invested in the club, right? I bought like 3-4 jerseys.
Right.
All right.
The next step is for us to go out there.
That is
we
the
just
next,
gotta go watch
that
a game.
Is the next step. But Arsenal, they
a tale of two halves.
Because Arsenal Twitter is definitely a little bit more active than Everton Twitter. So I watched.
It's a bit more angry, you know, it's a bit more explosive.
Okay.
Cynical, maybe, you know. I watched the game and I was very upset for most of it.
Yeah.
I don't even think it was really a tale of two halves. Look, Everton, Jesus Christ. Arsenal looked pretty bad in the first half, but magically we were still up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somehow some of their shots missed. We gave up 31 shots.
Yes. Arsenal played Watford, by the way.
Watford. I was just about to say, we gave up 31 shots to Watford.
Watford.
Watford. What for? What for are we even playing this game? I mean, it was embarrassing. And they didn't even have like Troy Deeney. Like, it was just embarrassing to watch. Like, at some point, I think Unai Emery was like, don't even defend. I think we're going to confuse them.
Yeah, I mean, I thought David Luiz was supposed to fix everything, right?
Because, he got new hair, new teeth. He wasn't focusing on the... He might have more time for his look because he might get fired. They're saying he might get fired.
David Luiz will get fired?
No, what not mean? David Luiz. I'm talking about Unai Emery.
Unai Emery. I'm like, you fire a player?
Buddy, the players are going to start getting fired. David Luiz actually looked great. He was trying to cover for everyone else. I think that this is a big mistake.
What was that mistake? What was that from Leno, right? What was that?
All right.
That goalkeeping gap.
But yo, Aubameyang, who retweeted us, got a brace. So let's talk about that.
That's right. I mean? He did look good. But we're excited.
When did he retweet us, actually? When we were in Charlotte, right?
That is correct. Yeah. Right. So this is what we're... Look, what a great... We can toss to this, guys.
Right. Hey, look at us. Pull that right out of our butts.
We're doing TV,
look
Mom.
At us. We're like pretty professional. We've gone way over the time we were supposed to.
We were in Charlotte for the ICC's House of Soccer. This was the game.
Right. We were the hosts. We weren't just there for it, bro. It was there for us.
And we got to hang out with Arsenal Fan TV while we were there. And that was pretty fun.
That's dope. Yeah, everybody came out. So we got to interview the Arsenal players. But just before that, we got to hang out with Arsenal Fan TV. So why don't you guys check that out?
You already know who these guys are. Ladies and gentlemen, Troops, Robbies. I mean, come on, look at this.
Thank you. It's good to be here, man. It's good to be here.
Mad hot, man.
I mean, look, I've watched, I mean, countless, probably hours of you guys and your work. Your intensity. What is it like to one be here in Charlotte, but also see what Arsenal fans out here have to offer?
It's amazing to be here. We're very lucky that we get to, you know, anywhere Arsenal go, we go. So okay. We've been around the world with Arsenal, but I always love coming to America, you know, because the number one, it's a beautiful, fantastic country, but also the fans over here, so passionate, so loyal, and the turnouts have been excellent. Both games that we've been to so far, great turnouts, and it just shows such, you know, what a big club we are.
Right. How does it feel seeing something that started so small, just you holding a mic with a camera and a bunch of people just bitching about a soccer team?
We don't know who. We're not talking about anybody in particular.
But I'm an Arsenal fan. I've been since I was a kid. So I got to watch it. I was like, yo, I feel like this dude. And then another guy comes up. I'm like, what trash is this guy talking? Yeah. You know? How does it feel? And also to have inspired so many different things with the banners and with the, you know, the Wenger out and all the different stuff that you guys are sort of the catalyst for a lot of that stuff. How does that feel to know that you changed the culture?
Yeah, I mean, listen, so I'll throw to troops in a sec, but I don't want to talk.
Now, big man, you get me.
But you know what, right? Like, for me personally, it's incredible. I still remember the first game we did, you know, and I had the idea and I thought to myself, you know, why has nobody ever talked to fans? Why do we always hear from everybody else apart from the most important people, which are fans? Because if you haven't got fans, there's no football. You know, there'd be no point in putting this event on today if there's no fans. So,
but we still come and collect the check.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Right? Yeah. So, I have to pay my rent somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't say in our contract that people got to show up.
Yeah, so, you know, I was just like, you know, we want to do it for the fans. And the first game I did, you know, I remember, like, people were like, who are you guys? Well, you know, not everybody wanted to talk. But we still got a great response. And, you know, to see where we started there to where it's come to now is absolutely incredible. And, you know, some of the people that we've met along the way, some of the people like Troops has become, you know, he's walking around and now everybody knows who he is, you know what I mean? It's amazing. And
how does it feel? How does it feel to just be a part of that culture?
It's a blessing. It's like coming where I come from, you're not used to getting love. You get me? You're used to fighting for your life and not having to trust people. So when people are approaching me, ask me for pictures, at the start I was like, what do you mean?
You're just mushing those
people. I was like, move from me, blood.
Up out of here,
who's
my
this guy? Like, I mean, yeah. Is there like an ulterior motive? But then the love is just mad, bro. And to this day, like, I've been doing this for like, what, maybe 3 years now? I still don't get it, bro. I'm just me. I'm a normal guy from London. I go to the games. I got my missus. I got my kids. She's Tottenham. But that's piss. You get me? But
How did that happen?
Opposites attract, you get me? She's a hot thing, so.
I'll allow it. I can't do it. She walks by and be like, I'm gonna do it.
When I see her in certain things, I'm like, boy. that cockerel don't really matter. Yeah. Nah, but like, it's just a blessing, and I just like thank everyone for like supporting and helping us grow, and it's just a privilege.
And you know, when you guys do what you do, you're a fan-based thing. So you're in England, you think, hi, it's these folks that are out here outside of the game. You come out to America and everybody knows who you guys are. How does that? That must be a trip.
It's weird. Yeah. Because like, you think to yourself, like, it took us 11 hours to get to our first destination, Las Vegas, on a plane. Yeah. That does 550 miles per hour at top speed. Like, thousands of miles away, and these people know you. It's weird. Right. Like, you walk down any street in the world.
This is a great algebra problem. Be like,
One train leaves London.
If two Arsenal fans are moving at the same time.
Bro, for me, like, it's weird, isn't it? Like, wherever we go in the world, we get this love, and it's just it's crazy. It's a blessing. I mean,
same thing happens to us, but only at pizza shops.
We got that on lock.
We put in the work. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, guys.
Arsenal Fan TV, Cooligans. Let's get it.
Welcome back, guys. So we again, shout out to Troops and Robbie for
That was really dope of them. Thanks again for hanging out with us.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Privilege was all theirs. Okay,
yes. We're waiting for our thank you notes.
Okay, and also some of their millions of subscribers to come over.
Yeah, you know, we'll take the latter, to be honest. We're good without.
Well, I mean, whatever you want, you decide.
We'll let it slide. So thank you again for that. That was really cool, and we had a great time out in Charlotte. So the I did want to talk about a couple comments that were made by some of these European players, you know,
Euro based players.
Okay, these foreigners coming in here with their good ideas,
right? Don't come in here with these intelligent. Hey. We've been around for a while. Style ideas.
Okay, you're making me feel insecure.
We just started, guys. We'll get there.
So let's start with Wayne Rooney, because he did. He was asked in an in interview just about his thoughts about the leagues, and he offered this. tidbit about how he doesn't feel that the American soccer player is being paid enough. He feels like the wages should be increased. The collective bargaining agreement will be negotiated once the season
he
is over.
He said that I feel that they deserve to get more money to stay in line with football in the rest of the world. And in terms of American sports, so basically he said in a very English way, yo, how come they're not getting that bag? They should be getting that bag, though.
Okay, well, why don't we have that translation on the screen?
Put that up. Why ain't they getting that bag?
I just want to hear, Wayne Rooney say the word guap a couple times. That'd be nice.
Yeah, they should be stocking their ends. I hurt my throat.
Oh, my God.
I was just in an episode of Top Boy.
that Liverpool accent can hurt you, buddy.
Right?
But
it's CBA's coming up. So he's just throwing, he's leaving the league at the end of the year. He's throwing his homies a little, you're welcome.
He got his bag, right?
Yeah.
He got his guap. He's was paid like about $5-6 million.
Yeah,
like,
he's goody.
He's doing fine. I mean, it's a good sign when the players, and I think Wayne Rooney noticed this, and there was a great article that Pablo Maurer did from The Athletic covering, I believe his name is Rory Moleda, who was Wayne Rooney's
assistant, his go-to.
Exactly. And Wayne Rooney kind of talked about this often, where he was just like, I'm being paid so much more than my coworkers that it's making me uncomfortable.
Right.
Right.
Meanwhile, Beckham, when he played here, he was like, no, this feels right.
Can we make sure we decrease their pay? Because I just want to feel.
I want his check too. Yeah.
Okay. So this is obvious, right? Uh-huh. I think everybody knows, if you don't know what, the league minimum now, I believe, is about
60,000,
like 65,000. I think it's 67, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad, but
you're a professional athlete. You would assume
it's not enough money to be like, it's not FU money.
No,
right? It's not like I'm done. I don't need to respect anybody.
Right. Like, you know how there's like folks that'll try to like get a player, get him like, get pregnant by an athlete, we good, right? That's not going to happen.
No, this is a problem. You're going to if you get pregnant by an MLS player, you have to incur their debt. Yeah, and you don't want to.
You need to apply for EBT.
You get pregnant, you're immediately like, how are we going to take care of this family?
Damn, you can't even afford a Plan B pill? They don't take TAM. At the bodega. I don't know where you get a Plan B pill.
Oh, my God.
You got trap baby allocation money?
I'm more concerned that you don't know where to get Plan B pills.
I'm married, man.
All right. I mean, you never know.
Put it in a smoothie.
Anyway, yes, it's fairly obvious. Hopefully they sort that out in the next collective bargaining.
This is who we're worried about.
But the other player that was Zlatan,
who we mentioned already on the show, he said he's the greatest player to ever play in MLS.
Yes, and he was, which I'm
humble guy.
Barely. I mean, we don't expect anything less than, from Zlatan Ibrahimovic. But what I did have a problem with in the comment was not that he was saying he was the best player in MLS history, was that there was a reporter that asked him, don't you think you should win like a championship or at the very least make it to the goddamn playoffs before you call it
a trophy? I feel like if you're the greatest.
Exactly. Right. And his response was, where are you from? He asked the reporter, where are you from? And then he goes, Mexico. And he goes, of course. He did the one of like, what does that even mean? What is this? Do Mexicans love trophies?
Look at this. Another Mexican asking about bedazzled cups.
Just typical Mexicans wanting people to be successful in the sport that they play in. Yeah. Wow.
Build that trophy case.
Wow. I cannot believe.
You can hear him cheering now.
Wow. It's not that even him, which is hateful rhetoric.
Yeah. I'm not even sure that was racist. I'm like, I don't know. Wow.
This means
it was disrespectful and in Hispanic heritage month.
Doesn't he know?
Come on. This is our month from the 15th to the end of the 14th of the next month. This is all we get.
This is an important time for us. How dare you?
Give us our 30 days.
people can have the debate over whether he's, I mean, look, he is one of the greatest players that has ever played the game. We cannot take away from it. From his individual skill and talent is unquestionable.
Right.
He is incredible. To call him the best in MLS history, I think does a disservice to where the league is and where it's come from. You know, does Zlatan Ibrahimovic have an MVP trophy named after him? No, he does not.
No, Landon Donovan does. So Landon's like, I got an idea of who might be, you know?
Okay.
I got a suggestion, you know?
So too many people have done a lot to help the league grow.
Do you think Zlatan gets in the Hall of Fame if he doesn't win a trophy? The American Soccer Hall of Fame.
No.
Okay. Well, there goes that segment. Quick answer. Who needs to argue?
No, I'm just the fact that great players come here to play does not make them legends in Major League Soccer. If there's a Hall of Fame for the Premier League,
do something here.
And if you help support the league and do whatever you can, and obviously bring your talent, that is great. But it's to get that kind of notoriety or that kind of recognition, you have to like do something for American soccer, not just
the press conferences.
Yeah,
your quotes don't put, you know.
Zlatan's great as far as that providing quotable. That fodder.
Yeah,
great. But
fodder's a good word. You don't hear that often.
Yeah, he needs a fodder. That's what he needs.
I grew up without a fodder. Oh, man, MLS has some amazing games. NYCFC won yet again, top of the East, baby.
That's right. So I'm really, you know, again, there's always a lot of complaints about, especially towards the end of the season, where people are like, you know, there's no promotion relegation. These games don't matter.
Right.
But, man.
Says who?
This has been one of the better years of, like, it being so tight in both conferences.
Well, it's also the condensed schedule. It just seems like you don't have to wait too long for, like, changes to happen.
Yeah. So
there's so many games happening.
Every couple, one victory will take you from eighth place to third or whatever.
Especially in the West.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it has just been incredibly, incredibly entertaining these last couple of weeks, but we should talk about a couple of the matches. So a match I attended and you were not able to go.
Yeah.
Oh, because you had to go to your nephew's soccer game.
That's right. I was at my nephew's first soccer game.
Okay. How'd that go?
Celtic FC is the name of the team. Never heard of it before. It's very cool that they came up with their own name. people behind me were yelling, "Go the Celtics."
Sure.
Here we go, the Celtics. Here we go. I'm like, that's not it. It was also behind me was like a Costa Rica family, and they were just like, no, this can't be it. Some lady yelled, this is true. Some lady yelled, Anthony, pick up the ball and throw it. Let's get some points. I mean, okay. are you, which way are you looking?
I love American soccer fans. Yeah. The diehards, really?
These are season ticket holders.
That's the mom ultras, yeah. I think.
Yeah. And mad mothers against bad soccer, whatever.
So, okay, well, what was the result? Did he win? His team win?
No, they lost 6-1. And the only reason it was 6-1 is because at 6 goals, apparently, it's a rule now. I don't know if this is just New Jersey or whatever, but they say no more goals. So this kid on the other team, amazing. I'm like, I'm his uncle now, you know. He's really good. He would break everybody.
Yeah.
And then he would just kick the ball for a goal kick. Like, he would kick it out. And he was so frustrated. I'm like, I'm frustrated for him.
Meaning he would get past everybody, but he couldn't get in the goal.
No, he would never score on goal because they told him no more goals.
Oh, because he was too good.
No, it was just disrespectful to go above 6. I'm like, yo, take it all the way. How am I supposed to tell my nephew he's trash right now?
I want you to crush my nephew.
Yeah, there was one kid on my nephew's team who legitimately, I think, was allergic to the ball. I don't know if the ball's made of peanuts. I don't know what's going on. But he would get near it and he would start running alongside the striker.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no. And one time the ball came at him and he got nervous and then someone else took the ball and he goes,
I think what we've learned here is that we should be recapping children's soccer games as like who cares about professional soccer?
Yeah, Celtics FC. Let's go. The Celtics FC. Yeah.
So, professional soccer.
First of all, one guy yelled, I don't know anything about soccer. My wife should. She's Peruvian. And this woman's just like, leave.
Wow. Sounds like he bought her.
Yeah. I know, because on the website, it said Peruvian. I want made and assembled.
Any. anyway, NYCFC did host the San Jose Earthquakes out in Yankee Stadium. They win this game 2-1. Goals from Mitrita, Alexander Mitrita, and Keaton Parks, and a goal for San Jose from Chris Wondolowski.
San Jose is starting to collapse a little bit.
Okay, well,
and I did say they were going to win MLS Cup, so apparently, so poison pill if I go for your club.
Apparently, this is your fault. But San Jose still in sixth place, at 44 points. But you know, FC Dallas is just one point behind. 43,
yeah,
43. So it can't be dropping points like this. And the main takeaway from this game was this was Matias Almeida's first match at Yankee Stadium,
and he loved it.
The comments. The Yelp
reviews.
He said,
"Why are we all playing?"
The Yelp reviews were beautiful. Yeah, just glowing. He really went in about how this this is not right. It's not. Basically, I'm paraphrasing. He said, "This is not a professional stadium. Soccer should not be played here."
He didn't believe it was the dimensions that they had told him.
Yes, he was.
And Glenn Crooks was like, "I've walked it. I've seen it. It's 70 by 1110.
Yeah,
or by 110."
Yeah, and it was he was not happy, but NYCFC down one and able to come back, and they did
I will
well.
Say though, you would assume his system plays really well in this short field.
No,
well, apparently not.
They didn't play badly. And Domi Torrent, his comments after was where he said that San Jose was the best team they've ever played at Yankee Stadium. He said so. They there were no goals in the second half, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And you know, they did like. They just couldn't get through. And NYCFC, they're super comfortable in that stadium. And
when NYCFC started the season with all those draws, everyone was like, oh, no, they stink. Dome out. Remember, there was a lot of Dome out.
Yeah.
Now people are talking about them being MLS Cup. There's a chance MLS Cup is hosted at Yankee Stadium.
At least it'll be entertaining for how much it will infuriate people.
Yeah.
Hey, that's
talk about home field advantage.
Yankee Stadium, the future of American soccer. Get used to it, buddy.
If the men's national team can play in a baseball stadium, why can't an MLS club?
So let's also talk about LA Galaxy against Sporting Kansas City, because I want to make sure we get to this game. 7-2, right? Nobody saw this.
A little rough.
Nobody saw this coming.
I'm surprised that someone's going to say, 6 goals, no more. You're not allowed to score anymore.
Okay. I know. I heard it from somebody's Peruvian wife. Yeah. They got to call this game. She knows the sport. Trust me.
We're not allowed anymore.
No, but 7-2. A hat trick from...
everybody.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic, a brace.
For
Becky G's boyfriend.
Okay.
Sebastian.
Mr. G.
The main thing I watching this game, you have to feel bad for center back for Sporting Kansas City, Graham Smith.
Graham Smith
was getting cooked, eaten. Lo comieron. It was ridiculous.
It was hard to watch.
He should not be defending Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Like, sometimes it's kind of embarrassing to sub off a center back, right? Like,
yeah. They needed to do it just for him.
But I just felt bad for
save
the
save that man's career. What is wrong with you?
It was just a crazy game. They could not stop anybody on the team.
No.
But 7 goals for LA Galaxy. Hopefully this puts them on the right track.
They're in fifth place, so they're getting up there, but they're still 2 points away from eighth.
Okay, so
the West, bro, you got to win.
But the playoffs in general are coming soon, and these last few games, if you're not watching, every weekend the games are just absolutely intense. So make sure you check them out.
I said San Jose was going to win MLS Cup. Did you ever pick a team? Have you picked a team?
I said NYCFC. I think they remember when we were on Drinks with Binks. I was drunk, guys.
Yeah,
right.
More like drunk with Binks, with Bunks.
But no, after.
Oh, they should put Bunks in here.
I don't think. I think LAFC can make it out. I don't know.
LAFC's fine. They're clearly stumbling a little bit.
To win the whole thing, I think the Eastern Conference will probably. I think Atlanta or NYCFC might win.
Yeah.
Weirdly, I don't think LAFC is going
to
do it.
Even if we have to play in LA?
I'm worried about LAFC in the playoffs.
Okay. So. Yeah, that's good. Well, look, we got a lot more to talk about, and we're going to on Thursday, right?
On Thursday, exactly. Make sure.
Also, we got Felipe Cardenas.
Felipe is a writer for The Athletic, a great, great journalist, great dude, friend that played soccer with him. So he's going to be on the show on
I've not played soccer
Thursday.
With him. Yeah, you did.
You've never played soccer.
Not happening. Just me and my father.
Episode after episode.
Bro, we just keep them coming, okay?
Okay.
Two days ago, you were like, that can't possibly be it. I need more in my life. And now here we are again.
Yeah, so people are just in the fetal position when the episode is over. They're just like, oh
I
my
get God. It. It's the Cooligan's detox. That hurts. You get the pain.
That one day, you know?
Yeah. rough Wednesday.
So, again, welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. Oh, look, we got a little bug in here. Look at that.
Okay. I'm sure everyone's really excited about the bug.
I'm easily distracted. Don't worry about it.
Our guest is like, what'd they call me?
Bed bug. Yeah. You're not a journalist nowadays. You can't call them a bed bug. No, they get very angry.
They get very upset.
Anyway, welcome to the show. Hello, everyone. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that hosted a nice little fun soccer show. So,
it's the funniest soccer podcast. It's the gulliest soccer podcast. And now it's the funniest and gulliest soccer television show.
All right.
Shouts to you.
And we have our guest today that we have to introduce.
Where are they? I don't see nobody on no couch.
Okay. No, Alexis, we got the technology nowadays.
Hologram? What are we doing?
Okay. Yes. Tupac is on the show today.
Hey, finally. Yo, why'd you kill Biggie, dude?
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, away. We make it hot.
Anyway, no, we're joined by Felipe Cardenas of The Athletic. And there he is. Look at this. We can talk to
ladies and gentlemen. We can see. I mean, you can see him too, unless you're trying to put your hands together for the one, the only, Felipe Cardenas. What's up, baby?
What's up, guys? Happy to be here, man. What up?
Dude, thank you for joining us on the show. But when we were in Orlando, we were talking after we had played pickup. I was like, "Yo, we gotta get Felipe on the show because he's a great dude, and he also knows Atlanta probably better as far as covering the team.
It's future Migos, Felipe Cardenas. That's how we know. That's who knows Atlanta. Jermaine Dupri comes after him. That's an honor.
So
then Outkast. It's me, then Outkast, right?
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Okay. I forgot about Outkast.
I'm glad we clarified. Felipe, so for the people who do not know you, please tell us a little bit about your journey at writing for The Athletic and just covering soccer to begin with.
Yeah, so I've been with The Athletic, started freelancing in May of last year. So I started covering Atlanta United right at around summertime, before the World Cup in Russia, and been full time with The Athletic since April. And so I think what's great about what the full time writers are allowed to do is that, we cover the teams. Like, we're beat writers for the MLS teams where we live. So in my case, Atlanta United is my beat. I go to training. I interview the players. I'm at every match here in Atlanta.
You're making mate with them.
I haven't done that yet. But I'm sure it's around the corner. I'm a coffee guy. You know that. I'm Colombian. It's all about café con leche. It's all that.
Almost as good as Cuban coffee. Anyway, you were saying?
fine. But no, I mean, what's awesome about The Athletic and being part of the team at The Athletic Soccer is that we're not just confined to our cities. We're national writers. We can chase stories around MLS. I had an awesome opportunity to go to St. Louis and cover the U.S. men's national team when they face Uruguay. So that was fun. I think the assignments are we sometimes don't know what we're going to cover because it's all about the pitch and what we want to go after. And it's been great so far. It's been awesome to be part of the team.
All right. So do you have a question? Because I want to get into the Atlanta, the drama. Right?
Oh, let's do that. Let's do that right
because,
up top.
Felipe,
off the rip.
Because the beginning of the season, the rough start to CCL and then the drama with De Boer, everybody was like, wanting to get him out. The players almost revolting. How, as a reporter covering the team, how did you sort of navigate through that? Because it did seem like the players themselves were unhappy with their coach.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. There were some players and some really key players. You're talking about Joseph Martinez, the reigning MVP, the MLS goal scoring leader, record holder, who's coming out and saying that he's not happy with the way the team is playing. When I talked to him before it kind of turned into drama, I spoke with him in, I think, February, right after CCL. He was pretty open with me in saying that, like, he was concerned with the team's mentality and the way that they were playing, understanding that they had a new coach and that they were playing within a new system, new ideas. So I think that was the first for me. That was the first time where I heard a player really reveal the issues that they were having, you know, considering when they introduced DeBoer, it was like, oh, you know, it's going to be somewhat seamless. He speaks Spanish, so it shouldn't be a problem. They're still going to be an attacking team. And they just really struggled to get to that. And I think the chemistry wasn't there early on. The results weren't there. And I think what's most interesting about the whole thing is that, you know, as a reporter, you know, we were listening to the players. They were talking to us. So it wasn't like we were creating something that wasn't there. It wasn't a narrative. They were answering simple questions with really detailed answers about what they felt should be fixed. And I think recently when I spoke with Justin Merrim, the new Atlanta United midfielder who was joined the team in May, you know, he let me know that it wasn't just everyone was upset. So it wasn't this locker room mutiny that was happening. There was kind of like one half of the team knew that they play a certain way. They wanted to play attacking soccer. They wanted to be in a certain formation that allowed their creative players to be more free. And then the other half of the locker room, if you will, was like, hey, well, the coach wants us to do this. So they all had to come together, including the coaching staff, and compromise and meet in the middle. And they did. And the results have been much better ever since end of July.
How is it now inside the locker room? It seems like I think for me, it was the big win. What was the name of the trophy? The Campeones Cup. That seemed to be like the first time where you could see the team kind of combine and unify a little bit. Why don't you mention now sort of what the attitude is? Is it still two sides of the locker room, or are they more, unified?
No, I think it's the team is together. I think they've always, it's a good group. I think they get along well. They just have a lot of, and I don't mean this in like a bad way. There are some big egos in that locker room, some big personalities that are used to playing a certain way, used to winning. And, you know, when they started to taste defeat and poor, you know, consecutive and consistent poor matches, you know, it really didn't settle with the team very well. And so, but they have veteran guys. They have Brad Guzan in there, Jeff Larinowitz, you know, Michael Parkhurst. Even though he hasn't played much, he's been, you know, somewhat more of a, you know, off the field leader, locker room guy. You know, they know they're a good team. You know, anytime I get a chance to talk to Joseph Martinez and I ask him that, he knows, he's like, they know the quality that they have. So I think that was part of the frustration from them. They're like, we're a good team. We've got PT Martinez, Barco, you know, Ezequiel Barco, Joseph Martinez.
Just all big names.
Hey, don't leave them out.
Guys got dreadlocks, you know what I mean?
True. Whenever I hear his name said, I hear Felipe Cardenas, but it's not Cardenas. It's
there's no accent over there.
No, it's Cardenas, right? Am I saying it correctly?
There's an accent over the first A, so it's Cardenas. Right.
Okay. I thought it was Cardenasti. Oh,
no, that's like what
that. That was his AIM. Cardenasti 101 or something like that. XX.
No, man, he is pretty nasty. I play him. Play soccer with him.
Yeah,
dude can ball.
Yeah, that sweet exterior goes away when you blow the whistle.
Felipe, I did want to ask about, you did mention Justin Merrim for a second. You wrote an article about him recently on The Athletic, but I wanted your interactions with him. There's a side of Justin Merrim that I don't think I've ever seen. I didn't see it in Columbus. I did not see it in Orlando. He is much more...
he's an EDM DJ, right? That's what you guys are talking about?
Of course. He is much more... jovial and having more fun with the game.
Lighthearted.
Like he's definitely having a good time. And he's been making the thing that's most impressive, he constantly makes jokes and trashes Orlando City, right? We know he had issues with the team, but what has bringing an Orlando City player and how has he sort of changed the dynamic of the team, or and because he's getting minutes, so clearly he's fitting in pretty well.
Yeah, he would tell you that he's a goofball. Like, he's a guy that likes to banter and make jokes in the locker room. And so what he told me when we sat down was that, you know, the guy that you know, MLS saw at Orlando, kind of like the guy that was down and wasn't playing well and really in a shell, you know, is not him at all. And I think here in Atlanta, he's connected with the locker room really well. And he knew guys before. He knew Darlington Nagbe well. He knew Michael Parker as well. He knew Breck Shea as well. And so I think he came in, and that was really important for him, like not just getting playing time, but like coming into an environment where it was going to be a good environment, a competitive one, but one where the locker room was unified. Now, ironically, he gets here and that's what he told me. He's like, I got here. And like, he was the one that told me about the divided locker room. So
he was like, again, oh, no, not again.
He's probably like, oh, man. But the reason why, you know, it's been such night and day for him is because as soon as he started playing and he wasn't even 100% match fit, he gets a goal. Follows it up, I think, 3 goals in 3 games. And then, you know, once Breck Shea went down and that left wing back position was wide open, you know, he took it and he owned it. And he isn't a wing back. You know, he's been really open about this, that he's learning to play that position because you do have to kind of be defensive as well. And he's not a defensive guy. He's an attacking winger. So he's done well. He's added like a little bit more creativity on that left wing, which they didn't have early on in the season. Once it got down to the end line, guys were just kind of like rotating the ball back. And he's a guy that wants to take guys on and provide some service. So he's been great. I think he's been great for Atlanta United. I know from what the chats that I've had with him that he's very happy in Atlanta. And so we'll see what the future holds for him, if he'll be back with the team in 2020.
Speaking of Atlanta United, 2 straight losses, one of which to Justin Miram's old team, the Columbus Crew or Columbus Crew SC. Philly as well, who's was at the top of the Eastern Conference for a while. What's happening with the team? Is this, you know, in MLS, you want to get hot going into the playoffs. They're doing the opposite. What's going on?
Yeah, they are, honestly. And then, you know, before Columbus, after the Columbus game, DeBoer said that they didn't have a good week of practice, that he knew the team wasn't in it. They were sluggish in training, and then they were very sluggish against Columbus. And so, you know, kind of going back to what you mentioned about Campeones Cup, you know, I think Atlanta to me is this team is because of the makeup of the players. You know, they've got guys that are used to winning trophies, used to winning championships from previous stops on before they got to Atlanta. So Pete Martinez, I think he's on trophy number 13 that he's won in his career.
Jeez.
But the Campeones Cup, it's like they get up for games. They get up for big games. They are a team that tends to play to the level of their competition and to the moment. So that's why they're good in pressure situations. They tend to be great. So, you know, the Philadelphia game was a big game, but I think they were coming off all of those, you know, cup wins, the Open Cup, the Campeones Cup.
You get tired just carrying all those trophies.
Oh,
they're
it's
heavy.
A lot, you know? And they have to make all those IKEA armoires for the trophies. It's a lot.
So, you know, you can't blame them. You can't blame
I like
them.
How Felipe waits for us to finish being stupid and then he finishes his answer. That's really nice of you, Felipe.
Thank you.
I'm not going to interrupt two comedians. I'm not the comedian here.
I did want to ask real quick about Pete Martinez, right? He's been it's just this weird, to me, kind of melodramatic time in MLS.
Sure.
I don't understand if he's happy here. I don't know if he regrets coming here. I mean, he has a tough time sometimes, maybe having chemistry. Sometimes he's banging these golazos. All-star game, he can't even find the net. How is he doing? There's no other better question. Well, how is he doing
here?
Does
he need a hug from us?
We would be happy to hug him.
Maybe. I mean, he could probably use a hug from you guys. He struggled. He was open about that too. He was self-critical early on that he wasn't playing well and he was kind of getting used to everything, that, you know, the new environment. You know, even having reporters in the locker room was a shock to him about MLS. So, you know, a lot of just culture shock for him and then him putting pressure on himself to perform. But
was it a shock for him that the fans aren't trying to knife the front office? You know,
I appreciate that at least.
Yeah, he's probably like, where are the ultras? There are no ultras. There are no guys without t-shirts or like, you know, topless in games or anything like that.
Jail tattoos on their neck.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I think he's getting better and, he has a ton of quality. His teammates say that, you know, he displays it in training. But I think he's one of those players that just puts pressure on himself to perform. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that you just give him time, give him space, give him, you know, get him a little bit more comfortable with the players around him, and he'll deliver. But whether he's, you know, 100% committed to the team, yes. Like, I guarantee, you know, the guy is a competitor. He's committed to Atlanta United and winning something this year. And he was one of the guys that was out there talking trash to, like, he later said it wasn't directly to Club America, but when he was asked if, you know, who's going to win that Campeones Cup, he was like, it's going to be us. Like, we're going to beat Club America. So he is that type of athlete that isn't shy about, you know, being professionally arrogant and speaking his mind. Is he happy? You know, I don't know. He says he is. And so, you know, I'll tend to believe him, but, you know, I think he's a player that wants to do more. He wants to accomplish a lot more than what he could possibly accomplish here in MLS. I know it's important to him, but I think he's a guy that would like to be in Europe sooner than later.
You wrote an article that was really great about sort of their lack of identity versus Uruguay. As fans of men's national team, we get a little frustrated. We hear people like, you know, Triple G saying things like, oh, no, we saw progress. And the fans are like, were you watching a different game? You know, why don't you talk a little bit about someone like yourself who understands the game at a very different level than we do. What are your feelings right now on the men's national team and it's sort of its progression towards the next World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, I understand Greg Berhalter's process and like being there and being close to them and asking questions, you know, of the manager and him responding. Like, I understand what he's doing. It's not a quick fix. It's not something that the team is just going to all of a sudden start playing attractive soccer in their third game. And so, yeah, I think from the fans' perspective, they want to see results. They want the team to win. They want the team to beat Mexico when they play, you know, their biggest rival. And Greg Berhalter just wants to see progress. He wants to see the players understanding the system better. He wants to see certain players in different roles and then make big decisions on who he's going to keep going forward. So that was my takeaway from covering that team, is that he's still trying to understand and evaluate the talent that he has. He's also selling it really hard that, like, he believes in it. He believes in the system. He believes in his players. You know, I think a lot of us, like, that report on the team and even fans are questioning whether this is the right talent pool to institute and, you know, incorporate this new sort of like possession based attractive soccer. So yeah, I think the identity piece is a big one, because for decades, really, the U.S. has had an identity. You know, they're a team that relies on athleticism, skill, counters, transition, great goalkeeping, and some really like key individual players that can make a difference. Like, you know, teams in South America, teams in Europe, like in the early 2000s and even in the 90s, like, they did not want to play the U.S. because they knew they were going to get a team that, like, never quit, that never stopped running, that was very athletic, that was fit, and that could beat you, you know, in a game that you weren't prepared for. And so now they're shifting to this very, you know, open book type of identity, is that we're going to do this in every match and we're going to adjust accordingly. And it's hard. And you look at Uruguay, you know, to your point to the piece, they're a team that has had the same identity for a very long time, and they're very successful with it. So it's going to take a while. I think the U.S. is in a tough spot right now. You know, I don't think they're that great of a team, and the teams around them in CONCACAF are getting better, and It's going to be a tough go in World Cup qualifying.
But I guess the only thing that's weird to me is Greg Berhalter's sort of response to the criticism, right? After the Mexico game, he kind of reportedly got a little annoyed with a journalist that was asking questions. Is that, like, it's starting to feel towards like the end of the Klinsmann era, where he's just like, you know, you don't understand this sport.
You don't even speak German. You know?
So it's getting a little strange to me that this is already the response, that there isn't. I think he sort of expects maybe some more patience, but and maybe this is not Berhalter's fault, but it's like that year gap that we had an interim manager. Yeah. Now all that pressure is on him because we sort of expect to be further along. But do you think Berhalter's sort of handling this correctly with media?
Well, you know, I think he felt the pressure, you know, after a second consecutive loss to Mexico and kind of getting peppered with questions about progress in the system and the players. And so he reacted. You're right. It's not necessarily his fault. the fact that they did not qualify for the last World Cup, and that he happens to be the coach that's coming in after a massive, massive disappointment. And so that's part of it. That makes every decision that he makes, and anytime he speaks to the press, it really magnifies his answers, because we're, you know, the US is coming from a place of failure. And so it's a tough position to be in. Like, sometimes I'm like, wow, I would not want to be Greg Berhalter right now. But, you know, he is, you know, in comparison to Klinsmann, and I didn't cover Klinsmann, so I don't know this, you know, personally, but I tend to think that, you know, Greg Berhalter is much more of a tactician than maybe Jurgen Klinsmann was. You know, at the end, at the end of the Klinsmann era, that those things started to come out about a confusion tactically. And I'm not getting that yet, you know, from even from players. And I think Greg Berhalter is very sure of what he wants to teach. It's just a matter of execution. And to your point, it's the fact that US fans are just very angry with the process and the way that he was hired.
Yeah. It's tough being Greg Berhalter, but it's the best job has to be
Jay Berhalter.
Jay Berhalter. Always getting promoted. It would be a great job.
Yeah, he's like, my brother's not doing well. All right, I'll take more money. You know, not bad. Not bad at all.
But I did also want to ask you, because we're celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, I wanted to make sure, because this has been a subject that's actually, we get a lot of questions about on Twitter.
People think we know stuff.
We don't know anything.
We don't know anything. Do not ask us questions.
But Atlanta United fans tend to get very frustrated that the Atlanta United does not have like a Spanish Twitter account or Spanish social media, and
just hire Siempre United. They're already doing it.
That's an option. What is that Latin sort of, because the team is obviously very South American, you know, there's a lot of culture and a lot of Spanish influence. What does that mean sort of to Atlanta, and the connection between Atlanta United and the Latino community?
Yeah, I think it's a very important part of really the DNA of the team. You know, started with the players, it started with Tata Martino, the fact that you had a predominantly Spanish-speaking locker room, and then they were very successful, and, you know, they were big personalities. You know, everyone loved Tata, everyone loved Miguel Almirón. Right away, Tito Villalba became a fan favorite. And so these players came in, and the fans, every fan, whether they're white, black, gay, straight, you know, here in Atlanta, everyone just really loves this team. But to your point about like the Latino community, there is a budding Latino community that's starting to kind of come out, you know, and talk about that they support Atlanta United too. Remember, Latinos usually have a team already. You know, they're coming from, you know, if they're Mexican, you know, they'll cover, you know, they're a big fan of someone in Liga MX. If you're like me in Colombia, like you have your squad. And so I think Atlanta had to, you know, they had to win them over. You know, Atlanta had to prove to the Latino community, like, hey, we're worth your follow. We're going to be good. We're playing well. And look, we have these players. And so I think it's worked out, you know, pretty magnificently as a brand. They're attracting a lot of different, you know, Latino families, young, old. Everyone is here to watch these teams. But to your point about digital, yeah, like, I think that's something that's missing. I think they could connect in that way as well. It's not like the fans, Latino fans, aren't on social media, and especially, you know, bilingual, bicultural Latinos, you know, that consume media in English and Spanish, that watch soccer all the time from all over the world. And MLS is still kind of this league that I'm not saying they're not sure about, but they're intrigued with. They're really intrigued about MLS and the future of it. So, you know, I think it would be smart for a club and a brand like Atlanta United to think about that and do what other clubs do in MLS, have a Spanish language, you know, Twitter account at the very least, and continue to, you know, push out content that speaks to that audience.
Or they could be the first one to have a Spanglish account.
Ooh.
Ooh.
All right.
You already saw it. You know? Well, listen, Felipe, it's been an absolute honor having you on our show. Where can the fans find you?
Well, follow me on Twitter at Felipe Carr. And then, of course, follow The Athletic Soccer at The Athletic SCCR on Twitter. Check out all our news from all our writers. And we're always there. We're always willing to, you know, comment, jump in the comment section, talk to the fans. And obviously on Twitter, we're always there. So check us out.
That's right. So they're reading the comments. And we got more with Cooligans when we get back.
All right. Well, welcome back. Thank you again, Felipe, for doing the show.
What a wonderful guest Felipe is, huh?
He's like, what a great human. He's just a great human being.
I mean, that's the only people we have on this show is good people to balance out how terrible we both are.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
We say, hey, let me look at your criminal record before you come on the show. No, it looks too similar to ours.
Hey, sorry. I'm so sorry.
Can I help you? I'm sorry.
There's only so much of that on Fubo we're allowed to have.
So, but again, thank you, Felipe. I hope Atlanta United fans enjoyed that. So let's talk about a couple other things. There were a couple matches in MLS over the weekend that I wanted to get to because a couple notable things happened. But we should talk about the match between the Seattle Sounders and the New York Red Bulls.
That's right.
This over at CenturyLink Field.
Who can hold on to a 2-goal lead? Can anybody?
Nobody's interested, right? But incredibly entertaining game. Initially, both of these teams need points, right? Especially like Western Western Conference for Seattle and in the Eastern Conference for the Red Bulls, every point is absolutely crucial. And I would say the Red Bulls have a little bit more leeway than the Sounders did.
I mean, they're 4 points away right now because of that loss. They're 4 points out of the play. I mean, 4 points
above the line.
Above the line. Yeah. No, 1 point above the line. No, yeah, you're right. 4 points above the line.
Okay.
Math isn't my strong point. We've covered that. Neither are words. Really, just let me play video games.
You know, I don't know. It's an interesting thing to see, especially, you know, since we've been following the Rebels as closely as we have the last, you know, like 4 or 5 years.
Right.
They've never really been a team that's been in much disarray. Obviously, always like sort of like underachieving because the fan base wants an MLS Cup and they want some.
They've gotten supporter shield.
Supporter shield, but they're a consistent team.
They've also never felt like they were floundering at any point. Like I always remember when the Red Bulls would get bumped out of the playoffs, it seemed like a big loss for them. It didn't seem like they didn't rise to the occasion.
Yeah. And you know, we're sort of used to like, you know, Metro Twitter is always is like, we're sort of, we accept that like there's nothing's ever good enough, right?
Yeah,
it's just like, we just be mad even if with support, you'd be holding the supporter shield and be like, I hate this team. I'm not happy with this team.
If the Rebels win MLS Cup, they'll be upset about where the parade is. You know what I mean? That's just that fan base.
It's just how it is, which is fine.
They've waited a long time. It makes sense.
But the fact that these last couple games, you know, I would say even probably starting with the Hudson River Derby, there's this like, there's more of this Armas out, blow it all up, start over. What is it? Hamlet.
Yeah.
The president of the team. Like everybody's just like
everybody gone.
Everybody gone. Which seems a bit aggressive.
They just seem somewhat ill prepared these last few matches, especially against Seattle, which Seattle absolutely needed it. But to go down 4-2, I mean that's a big.
You know what? This is why I think the Rebels are having the issues that they're having. I think not selling Aaron Long. I think he's like not happy. I think, you know, for that move to Europe, well, how old is he? Like 20? I
mean, he scored a header.
27. Yeah.
You think that mullet is a protest mullet?
I think it might be. I think there's issues with the team, with Kaku and the issues that he was having, like not really playing well, maybe making the comments about going to play in Mexico.
Bradley Wright Phillip looked unhappy that he wasn't starting.
Exactly. So I think there's a little bit of turmoil that we're not used to. We haven't been sort of accustomed to in the last couple years. But one thing I did want to mention about this particular game was the Emerald City supporters club for Seattle Sounders. They protested and
they did a walkout.
They did a walkout because one of the president of the supporters group was kicked out for flying the Iron Front flag. And
once again, we have to talk about this.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to talk about it. Okay, we don't want fans to get kicked out for, you know, being against bad people. Okay.
Yeah.
We understand that the league has said they want to be apolitical. There did seem a moment where like, oh, okay, maybe some pressure and they'll realize they are in their ways. Like, nah. Everybody getting kicked out. They're calling a bluff, guys. Everybody's getting kicked out.
It's frustrating. Look, but this is a good move, I think, from the MLS supporter kind of perspective. And then,
this is a character building for American soccer supporters.
We see this in Europe all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this happened.
Everybody was cool with it when Liverpool fans walked out because they were going to raise the ticket price, and people are giving Seattle supporters problems because they walked out. You know, because they can't fly a flag that they want, which isn't negative in any way, shape, or form. Like, I don't understand what the issues are.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, look, and we can't keep talking about the same exact subject.
Right. But we showed a little support by putting the pizza one up. You know, exactly. What I mean? That's our
hopefully
thing.
That was cool.
You guys are watching it. You guys are looking at it.
So, look.
And there's no pineapple on that pizza. Shouts to us.
That is crucial. Yeah. Yes. If there was pineapple on it, then that's an offensive symbol that shouldn't be flown anywhere.
That's just a pineapple on a pizza alone. That alone. Right there, illegal.
Look, this stuff is it's frustrating. I've been hearing from my sources. Yeah, I got sources.
Yeah,
you want that?
Actually, he just reads the Source magazine. It's old ones.
Okay,
what they tell you?
I just got a stack.
Biggie's new album.
It got four mics.
Yeah, not bad.
I just got a stack of Source and Double XLs, and that's where I get my soccer news.
I got a couple of Vibes.
All right, I'm still on Jet now.
Yeah, okay. Doing the crossword puzzle.
No, just this stuff is again frustrating. But I have been hearing that there are talks with MLS. Like, everybody's in this weird position where it's like the teams themselves,
they're playing chicken.
The supporters, the front of the league, and nobody agree. There's not anyone to like outvote anybody.
No.
Like, everybody has like their own.
It's those scenes where three people have guns pointed at each other. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know, you shoot.
It's like from
you
the
shoot,
office.
You shoot, I shoot.
Yeah, yeah. We don't know who's
going to make it. We'll have more when we get back after this. Yeah, we are back. Oh, man. The playoffs are starting to sort of set a little bit. We've talked about a bunch of the teams that have started making a little bit of a move. Orlando versus New England. One team I'm surprised is still in the playoff picture, but that's the Bruce Arena bump. Yo, that's that Brooklyn Bruce bump.
That's right. Yeah, that you can't. That's not like a statistic that people can really.
You can't find it. You can't put it on a chart.
You can't. So it's difficult to sort of have any.
How do you quantify it?
Exactly. But Orlando and New England, and I love these games, especially when two teams. You know, the announcer, they were calling it a 6-point game. How do you feel about those 6-point matches? Some people are annoyed by that term.
Yeah, so do I.
Okay.
Can we just make it a soccer game? Why do we have to make everything into like an American football game, even though they play in Gillette? You know what I mean?
Okay. But this game.
This was in Orlando.
This was in Orlando, but they need both teams just desperately, desperately needing 3 points. And you feel it. You feel it as you're watching the game. It's like, again, any of these complaints of like games that don't matter and that the only thing that, you know, a team could ever, show any fight is for, to not get relegated, which is like, it's clearly not the exclusively the case, right?
It's also so frustrating to watch Orlando because, like, if you were to write the names down, you'd be like, all right, there's a lot of talent there.
Yeah.
And Matt Doyle had the hilarious tweet where someone was like, oh, one player leaves and it looks good, but you can't name any more. Weak.
Yeah.
And then he just has like two tweets full of players like who are just playing extremely well outside of Orlando.
Yeah.
Orlando's so frustrated. I mean, the fans probably more frustrated than we are, but watching them play, you're just like, why can't you put this together?
but watching, honestly, both teams, right? We definitely did not expect this kind of improvement or this much of a turnaround for New England Revolution, right?
No, of course not.
We just saw like them struggling, and it was like,
is Bruce Arena this good, or was Brad Friedel that bad?
That's a good question.
It might be both.
So
wait, didn't he tell me I have to jog? I should exercise more.
Did he fat shame you?
Yeah. Brad Friedel, remember when we interviewed him at the Hall of Fame?
All right, I don't want to speculate. I just want to make sure that
he did. So that's what you get, bro. Bruce was like, "You look great, my guy.
You're looking real cute. I like what I see.
THICC.
Very impressed with Alexis's goodies. So
it brings all the coaches to the yard.
So that is kind of the fair question, right? It was sort of a concern when we saw New England play against Minnesota. They ended up they won that game. That was
right.
One of Friedel's final games. But this match, like the skill is, and that was kind of the big surprise. I did not expect this much sort of sauce from New England. Yo, right?
What's that? Carlos Gil? How do you pronounce his last name?
Carlos Gil and Gustavo Bo.
Yo,
both
Gustavo Whoa.
That's a fair because who did he nutmeg? He nutmegged the dude before they got the goal. I forgot who it was.
Wild, disrespectful.
But that is the you just like all right, New England, okay,
hi, flex a little on
him. Boston clam chowder. I didn't expect all this.
Damn, how you like them apples?
But incredibly entertaining game. And then whenever I saw Orlando come back, right? You know when they equalized again. With the goal from Nani, right? Yeah. And then he got two goals, right? The goal from Dom Dwyer, which is good to see him score, right?
I forgot he existed.
Okay. I thought he was a full-time dad at this point. He's just a nanny.
He's an influencer. I didn't know he was.
But I'm glad he's scoring because he's a good player. But every time you saw these spectacular goals from Orlando, I just felt like it's almost like the offense doesn't deserve the defense that they have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The mistakes that they make, it's just like, yo, it's so frustrating.
So you see how hard they're working up there?
All right, see Nani doing like Croy Tor. I'm like, yo, is this a game of FIFA? Dude is going
wild. Is Nani dizzy?
Because I'm dizzy just watching
I know the
him.
Defender is.
But, I mean, and Nani had a game, one of the better games he's had this year, but he's really carrying this team. And, again, we have every time there's a big signing, you know, retirement league this, retirement league that. But Nani, and to his credit, I did not expect him to own and captain this team as much as he really has. And you saw it, I think, in during All-Star Week, where he was like, yo, this is I'm about this city, and I'm going to do my best to help this team be successful.
Yeah, it seems like he's sort of taking it on, but there's only so much he can do. He can't will the team to win every week on his own.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a coach that doesn't seem to have the same effort being put in. I don't want to completely blame James O'Connor, but it seems like this is going to fall on his lap, no?
Yeah, I mean, what is if Orlando City do not make the playoffs, what do you think it looks like in 2020? Do they keep the coach?
No.
You don't think so?
No. You can't. What's the excuse you have to keep him?
That's true. I mean, but he hasn't been, it's not a Heath. He wasn't Adrian Heath like his tenure. It seems like the locker room.
Minnesota's doing pretty good too. So he was like, I wasn't me.
Yeah. Oh,
in
sure.
The water.
Sure. In the swamp water. I don't know. I feel like they give him another shot. It hasn't been terrible. You know what I mean? It's just been. Not reaching, just underachieving.
They're 36 points. They're in 10th place.
They can.
That hasn't been terrible with Nani.
I mean, they don't get too terrible. They've been terrible. They haven't been terrible.
All right, you don't get two of them. You get one terrible. Four mics and one terrible.
FC Cincinnati. That's terrible.
They're not even in MLS still. They're like, nah, you guys go ahead. We'll figure this out next year.
No, but they, I think they give them another shot. Orlando, they're not a terrible team. And I think the energy looks a little bit different with the players that they were. Tesho, you know, it's a little bit more optimistic.
They have too much skill for the results they're getting. We'll talk more about it when we get back.
All right. Let's go and talk a little bit about the Philadelphia Union.
Ooh.
Because honestly, I think the Philadelphia...
For the second time, right?
I think the Philadelphia Union, I don't know if this is a hot take or not. I've never had a hot take in my life.
So, no.
Okay? All right. I won't even eat a hot take.
You won't eat a hot cake. Never mind a hot take.
So I think, especially this second half, I would say after the All-Star break, Philadelphia Union are arguably the most exciting team to watch or support in American soccer. I feel like
going to say it's the most exciting team to watch their support because the fan base is amazing. Remember, we were like people were worried that fans weren't going to come out.
Yeah.
Dude, every game is late.
Well, the last couple of weeks, Talon Energy Stadium has been unbelievably rocking. Yeah. We're almost to the point where it's so full that I'm like, I think they didn't expect that many people to be there. Now there's like safety concerns. You know right. what I mean? Like it seems everybody
talks, like, oh, so all the seats? We're just gonna have someone in every one of these seats?
Because all you hear now from the local broadcast, JP Della Camera and Tommy Smith are always like, it is so loud. It is rocking in here. Like yeah. it's just like they were like worried that yeah. something's gonna happen.
They're like, can we get like an EMT nearby? Is that possible?
They're just clearly concerned.
Dude, the place erupted on Casper's header that looked yeah. like it was going to get stopped.
Yeah.
That, the place went ballistic. I'm like, yo, I kind of wish I was there to see that.
Yeah. And we have to go to a game soon. A lot of people
When's
have
the game against NYCFC?
October 6th.
Right?
No. We'll be here. We'll see. Maybe we're going to try to go. We've been getting some tweets. Some Philly fans. Some of them.
The goons.
The Wooters. Yeah. The Wooters. You know?
The Finns.
they've been hitting us up, but we have to talk about their match against LAFC, which is a huge game,
massive game.
That both teams really, really, I wouldn't say really wanted to win. I mean, Philadelphia
but
Union,
it's the top of each division, it, right?
Top of each,
or each conference, I should say,
at the time, right? Yeah. Or no, Philadelphia was, I believe, in second by the time this game happened. But both teams, LAFC is almost like this. They're kind of finding themselves again after Carlos Vela recovering from the yeah. hamstring injury, a quad injury, I don't remember. But the Philadelphia Union, and I loved the, again, we always shout out Philadelphia Union, the social media, because they're always like, they were posting a lot of stuff
the
about
Beavis and Butthead stuff, all this stuff.
But they were
great.
Posting about how, you know, like, we're waiting for you, LAFC. Yeah. You know, like, not for just a little
not
friendly.
Not talking trash, but like, go ahead. Hey, we made space for you.
We get it. You're 86 points ahead of the second place yeah. team. But
you're probably mad relaxed out there, but welcome to the East where it gets a little grimy.
Exactly. And you know, even speaking to that, LAFC, they don't have a lock on the supporter shield. NYCFC, I believe, is 7 points back.
Yeah.
From a supporter shield,
which is probably not going to happen, but if there's mathematically it's still possible.
Yeah, and LAFC, if they keep dropping points, anything could happen. NYCFC has a couple tough games on the road, but it's just
LAFC is at 64 points. NYCFC is at 57.
LAFC is not sort of as they haven't dominated, or it's not as dominant as it sort of has been feeling throughout the year.
No. They've had some slip ups, and they lost at Philadelphia, which is huge.
No, they drew.
They dropped
those 2 points,
which is still huge. I mean, especially if you're Philadelphia has one of those. It feels like the Union are a fun team to watch, and they find ways to win the game. But I'm not the type of person that goes in with confidence to say, yeah, Philly's going to win this game. But they always seem to pull it out.
Yeah,
and they're getting amazing play from like Fafa Picot. They're getting incredible play from Casper. They're getting incredible play from their midfield. It's just, and then you've got Marco Fabian who just comes in. I'm not in the Marco Fabian. What's his name? El Seno.
Yeah, we actually should talk about Marco Fabian, who did not dress for this game because he was apparently late for a team meeting, and Jim Curtin cut him. He didn't put him in the lineup.
Curtin don't play, dude.
Curtin don't get putting curtains on you, dog.
I was gonna say blind you, but he's not gonna do that. He's not.
Okay, we gotta go to blinds to go and find other puns at different times.
He's gonna vertical blind you.
No, I mean, but again, we do have to go out to Philly to catch it, just to experience that, because it's these last couple of weeks have been just incredible. The turnaround from the team itself, but and this is where it's clear that when the team's you know the fan base supports the team,
they play better. Or when the team starts to interact or engage with the Cooligans on social media.
Okay, so if you guys, this is the winning ticket,
right? we're the opposite of a poison pill. I don't know what that's called. Blinds to go. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I think the opposite of a poison pill is just healthy food. Yeah. I don't know what to say.
Ew, I wasn't going to say that.
Nutrients? Yeah.
Was it a smoothie? I don't know.
Are we the smoothie of soccer?
Right. We're like the cocaine. Right? We get you all excited. Maybe you take a poop. Who knows?
I don't know. But then you get a documentary made after you, and Maradona's
not
getting
bad.
It.
Yeah.
So it's all working
which
out.
We're invited to, and we can't go.
We can't go to the premiere. What are you going to do? It happens. All
special
right.
Special screening.
We have lives, you know. I'm going away. I'm going to Japan.
That's right. And I'm going to Montreal.
Okay.
Equal. pretty even.
Same exact place. Yeah. But the shows are still happening, so you'll see us.
Yeah, no, you'll, don't worry about it. We'll still be here.
We're not going anywhere. So, yeah, look, again, Philly and L.A., two places that we have to make sure to visit. We've had a crazy year.
I've said it. If the two L.A. teams play in the playoffs, we're going. We have to go.
Okay. Are we even going to be able to get a ticket?
We'll sneak in. We'll be all right.
Well, thank you again to everybody for tuning in and watching and listening. We appreciate you very
using
much.
Using all your senses. We're gonna get smell-o-vision. We're going to get touch-o-vision. One with poking you in the side.
Let's get consent-o-vision first.
that's important. Look, I didn't even ask, bro. Mad disrespectful.
Let's make sure we do that. Thank you again, Felipe Cadenas, for joining us on the show. We appreciate it. Make sure
Cadenas. Say his name
Cadenas.
Right.
Cadenas. Cadenas.
No, Cardenas. Cardenasty. Let's get it.
So thank you, man. We appreciate it. Make sure you follow him and read The Athletic. We have a subscription to it. It's awesome. The articles there.
That's right. We share one, though, because we're not trying to give you all that money. You know what I mean? Trying to be a little cheapy. we're going to give you best friend our password. but yeah, absolutely. And also, if you want other guests, let us know who. Tweet at us. Let us know at @SoccerCooligans.
Yeah,
who you want us to have on the show.
Yes. And make sure you follow us at @SoccerCooligans. You see our little thing
it's on the
show somewhere. Who knows? At Chris Polanco, at Not Alexis. We appreciate you experiencing this whole FUBO experience
two
with
weeks,
us.
Baby, 2 weeks, baby. 4 episodes.
Wild. That's it.
Yeah, thank you. And of course, join Gully Squad if you got a time. Go to soccercooligans.com /Gully Squad. All
right. That's right. Show the support. And make sure to follow FUBO TV. All right.
Yeah, please follow FUBO.
They love that. So with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans! We'll be right back.